What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is September 8th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We're going to change things up as we enter the playoffs for your fantasy leagues. I'm going to be focusing more on five guys from the previous night that you should be considering for your next streams, or really change if you should be adding or dropping these players. And then on the second half of this, I'm going to be talking about the streams for today and tomorrow with a little glimpse at the day after tomorrow. If you don't know this, I actually have my rankings out already for the day after tomorrow streams, but you have to have PL Pro to go and get those rankings. So sign up for pitcherlist.com/premium for PL Pro yearly at 15% off with promo code podcast. That's 15% off PL Pro yearly at pitcherlist.com/premium with promo code podcast. But all right, let's talk about the games from yesterday. We got to talk about Brandon Sproat. He went against the Reds, 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 7 Ks in his MLB debut. He went 88 pitches, which is a lot more than we expected. Only 6 whiffs. So what does he do? We were all excited about him. Only 6 whiffs. Is this good? Is it bad? Should we hold on to him? Should we not? Brandon Sproat throws cross body. And what that means is that he starts on the third base side, and then when he lands with his left foot, it is closer to third base. So that means he is pitching toward the right-handed batter, and he's throwing back towards home plate, which adds extra horizontal movement to both the sinker and the sweeper. It adds a little bit of extra deception as well. However, it does add a little bit to wonkiness of location. This is something we've seen in the past from Freddy Peralta, from Adam Ottavino, from Jake Arrieta, all these guys. And it's something where it goes in and out of rhythm, and it means you really can't trust that he's going to be able to execute every single pitch inside of an at-bat. He's not going to be able to avoid those games where he's just going to be volatile. He's not going to be able to have a lot of strikes on his fastballs, and it's going to be over-reliant on the secondary. So that innately gives me some concern. However, he does get Texas next. He does get the Nationals next, and he goes into Miami for the last start for his season. Those are too good of matchups because the sweeper and the curve are legit pitches. This sweeper should dominate right-handers constantly. The curve was a really nice offering. It's two-plane movement at upper 70s, and it should work well against lefties. We also saw that sweeper work against Ellie De La Cruz massively in one at-bat. It was beautiful. I think those two pitches alone will make Sproat worthwhile for those starts. While it's not like the sinker is a terrible pitch, it comes in at about 96 miles per hour. You might see 95 to 96 after seeing 97 a lot in his debut. That's adrenaline. That's what happens a lot. But when he does get that inside, oh man, that means it's about 17 inches of run on it. It is very, very difficult to hit. I don't love his four-seamer though. And what is interesting is Brandon Sproat's going to have to figure out his left-handed attack a bit because the changeup was around. It was okay. And I wonder if we're going to see more of that because the four-seamer should not be this trusted pitch to be the rock against left-handers. I'm not saying it's terrible. 96 itself is going to help him out if he's able to get it elevated a bit. It's okay, but it's pretty much dead zone movement, and he doesn't want to make many mistakes with that pitch. You might see some sinkers away that set up the changeup and, of course, the sweeper coming back over, but it will be a little bit more of a struggle there. And as long as Sproat takes care of right-handers with that sweeper and sinker, this should be fine. So, yes, I would be holding on to him the rest of the way. We have Andrew Alvarez, another young pitcher. I'm going to be focusing on these where it's just kind of hard to tell what we should be doing. And Alvarez is going to get the Pirates next. And this is why I'm talking about him, because he went against the Cubs. It was 4.2 innings of 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 2 strikeouts, just 3 whiffs. It's not very impressive. He is a desperate stream against the Pirates. I can see it working out. The secondaries have moments. It wasn't really his best one here against the Cubs. And the Cubs kind of gave in to Alvarez not throwing many strikes. They got impatient, and they generated more outs for Alvarez than he expected based on these low strike rates. But it is a curve and a slider that can go down and inside to right-handers. We saw it much better in the debut. And he could do that again versus the Pirates as the southpaw. He doesn't have a changeup, though. We generally do see that for southpaws right now. You have to have a good changeup. Alvarez doesn't. It's actually interesting to think about it. With lefties in the national system, you have Mitchell Parker not really ever getting a changeup. Andrew Alvarez now. Mackenzie Gore kind of not really. DJ Hurst did, of course, before it. I mean, Mackenzie Gore now has a change of anything he had one before with San Diego, but something to think about with the Nationals and how they do development. Long story short, should you pick him up and start him against the Pirates? I would not in a 12-teamer. I would say if you're desperate for a quality start, I could see Alvarez being a guy that generates outs and is more efficient next time to do so. But he's not a big strikeout play, I don't believe. And the Pirates, they aren't the worst team out there, and they might have a surprise for you. And speaking of the Pirates, Bubba Chandler went against the Brewers, and I am so sorry for anyone who started Bubba in his first career start, because this was an atrocity. 2.2 innings of 9 earned runs, 9 hits, 3 walks, and 3 strikeouts, just 5 whiffs. He threw 68 pitches. And what I'm going to tell you now is that you should pick him up. If someone rage dropped Bubba Chandler, or they didn't know he was going to start him here, and they dropped him, didn't want to deal with the headache of, is he going to open? Is he going to pitch this game or that game? It does look like Bubba Chandler is in this rotation now, in this spot, and we'll get at Washington. We'll get the Athletics away from Sacramento, so that's in PNC Park, which is great. And then in Cincinnati. I'm in for this. But Nick, he just did so poorly. I know. If you watch this, you'll be so frustrated. I mean, yes, Bubba did some things that certainly messed himself up. He threw changeups and sliders well outside the zone. He didn't get 60% strikes in either one. The changeup itself was a below 50% strike rate. Fine. However, oh my gosh, the fastball was doing really well. And there were so many balls in play that should have been outs and ended these innings sooner. And this could have easily been 4 or 5 innings, but we got 7 hits on 8 balls in play with his four-seamer. No home runs. And there's really about 1 or 2, maybe, that were like, okay, you know what? They really hit that one. Also, the pitches that they hit were good pitches by Bubba Chandler. They were elevated four-seamers. They were inside corner. They were on the outer edge. Like, Bubba Chandler pitched very well with his fastball. It's just about that changeup and slider not getting enough strikes and allowing the batters to sit on that heater and then give themselves the chance of Koufax above guiding those balls into grass. And that's what happened. So don't think that Bubba Chandler is this cooked prospect, overhyped, all that stuff. No, no, no. This was just a really bad day. Welcome to the big leagues, Chandler, from a smart Brewers offense that attacked the right pitches. And yep, this is a guy I would be picking up everywhere, because I think that you can be the smart fantasy manager who's not going to overreact against a game against the Brewers and start him against the Nationals. You have Luis Severino against the Angels in LA, not in Sacramento. 5 innings, 3 runs for its 1 walk, but 7 strikeouts, 14 whiffs, 33% CSW. 10 of those were off the 4-seamer. 34 thrown, 10 4-seamer whiffs. That is abnormal for Luis Severino. The reason I'm bringing him up is because he gets the Reds carpet next and then goes to PNC Park. I am so down for that. And Luis Severino is not a guy I've been really that much into for the season, but he really did dot those 4-seamers in this one. The sweeper's fine. The sinker's fine. This should be good for you in your fantasy leagues, and I imagine Severino is generally available. And then there's Charlie Morton. Very big disappointment here against the White Sox. 3 innings, 3 earned runs for its 3 walks and 2 strikeouts. Oh, gosh. 7 whiffs, 25% CSW, 72 pitches. The story of Morton has been the curveball looking great for about a month or two, and it's all about the secondaries doing enough. Sadly, those secondaries, and I mean secondaries as in not the primary pitch, that is the curve, so that includes the sinker and the changeup, those two pitches were thrown 29 times combined, and they returned 41% strikes. You can't do that, Morton. You can't. You gotta get a little more support there, and then you would have cruised here. The good thing is that's the Marlins next, and this is why I'm telling you about them. So Charlie Morton is a stream against the Marlins, Severino against the Reds carpet, that is the Reds away from Cincinnati, and PNC Park I'm in for, Bubba Chandler at Washington, and Athletics at Cincinnati, pick him up. Brandon Sproat is fine, you can hold on to him, but Andrew Alvarez, it might be interesting. I don't think I really would be going for that next one for him. All right, we're going to talk about today's games, tomorrow's games, and a little bit of the day after tomorrow after this break. So, looking at today's games, a very clear stream to me is Keiko Vallie. He is a probable start against the Marlins. That is very, very clear to me. Ryan Berger is an interesting one, but I am a little weirded out by the fact that the Guardians are left-handed focused. And he does have reverse splits a little. However, it is a four-seamer sweeper and slider, and I'm worried that the sweeper might get hit a little more than we want it to. You might be debating also Nick Lodolo at the Padres. I have him as a probable start. I think he looked really good in that still ill start against a very tough team, and I think he's in a good place. He could take advantage of just the fact that he's starting regularly and do well despite getting a tough Padres team. Aaron Nola is a very difficult one. He had a bad inning and then settled down last time out, and now it's the Mets, and you don't really want to trust it. I get it. I have him in questionable start. I'm likely leaning towards start, but I recognize you want to be safe on a Monday. That's fine. Luis Morales has become super popular, 41% rostered. I don't think I've seen this jump of a young arm in a long time. For someone that is on the Angels, and he hosts the Red Sox. That might be worth your time. I'm fine with it. I do think that the command is not nearly as good as people are suggesting here. So be a little cautious starting him. Sorry, I apologize. Not the Angels, the Athletics. I always get the Athletics and the Angels just mixed up in my head. So this isn't Sacraver too, I should say. Duh. It's a little more precarious than I want it to be for Luis Morales hosting the Red Sox. Jacob Blatz is also someone to consider. He threw over 70 pitches last time out. It is against Milwaukee. It's not a great matchup, but it is in Texas. And Jacob Blatz is a lefty, 95 miles per hour, four seamers up, changeups down. It's a very good changeup. This could very well work. And the fact that you see only 1% rostered for Jacob Blatz, but 41% for Luis Morales, to me, that's just such a massive gap when it's pretty straightforward of they're not so different, honestly. And they do not start here. I think the one that you might be tempted with is Nabil Chrismat against the Giants. It's 5% rostered there. It's in San Francisco. He's had some success, but I really don't think that Chrismat does enough. It's too low of a ceiling for the floor here. Slay Ciccione against the Royals. I think Royals are too good. Bryce Elder against the Cubs. I know he just did well against the Cubs, and it was three straight really good games from Bryce Elder. I can't. I think the floor is far too low for you to chase that one. All right, and looking forward to tomorrow, we have Emmett Sheehan at 17% rostered, and that's shocking to me because this is an auto start, y'all. This is hosting Rocky Road. You just saw him go 10 strikeouts in 7 innings against the Reds carpet. How could you not want to start this one? Now, I do recognize that he's probably under-rostered because of the question mark of when he's going and uncertainty. I get that. But he's going tomorrow against the Rocky Road. You have to start Emmett Sheehan for that game. Kyle Brash is an auto start as well against the Pirates. I got a lot of questions this morning during my playback.tv/pitchless live stream. You should be there every single morning, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., sometimes as long as 1 p.m. You should just be there. It's absolutely free Eastern time. I'm just going to answer your fancy questions. Come on by. And Kyle Bradish, I think this is going to be a fantastic start against the Pirates. Yes, his slider hasn't been quite as good as it has been lately, or as it was in the debut, but this should be fine. Zach Gallen, I think we're rolling with against the Giants on the other side is Robbie Ray, who looked much better in his last start, even though the final line wasn't exactly what you wanted. I think he's in a much better place than he was about 2 weeks ago. And also, Eury Pérez. You have been so worried about Eury Pérez. So many of you have asked about this. Guys, two innings were really bad. One against the Mets, where he got pulled before the first inning, and the second one was the Nationals last week, and he just got singled out and just didn't go his way, and it stinks. That does not define a guy, okay? He should be much better than he has been, and his stuff is still good. The velocity is still good. Go with this. Cade Horton, you're rolling with, of course, and not much more to talk about. I mean, maybe Michael King is weird because he did not have any rehab starts. So I don't know how long he's going to go on Tuesday, but it is against the Reds in Petco. Oh, that's so good. The quality inning should be there, but it's just how long is he going to go? I don't know. Joey Cantillo is of consideration, but it is against the Royals. Don't really love that matchup. Also, Cantillo isn't just completely nailing down his changeup. Adrian Hauser is in consideration for the White Sox as a stream. It is away from Tampa Bay, which is great. And if you're in a quality start league, Hauser is a decent choice. And otherwise, Sean Manaea against the Phillies. I don't really want to do it. I don't think he goes too long into games. Jack Leiter, his ceiling is good, but he doesn't hold on to it for a full game. He had a tough inning or two against the Diamondbacks and then really cruised in his last start. but it just goes in and out of locations and abilities, so I'm not really there. And also, I got so many questions about Luis Garcia. Do not start him against the Jays. At least I'm not. It's in Toronto, and the hitters are much, much better there. While Luis Garcia was 94 miles per hour in his last healthy season, in the still ill, returning finally from Tommy John, it was 91 and change. I am not buying in on Luis Garcia being peak here at all. I'm also not starting Spencer Strider because that four-seamer and slider are just not good of a combo right now, and the Cubs are ready to pounce on him. I just think it's not going to be fun. And just a little quick glimpse on at Wednesday. If you want the full ranks, of course, you have to go to pitchless.com/premium and get PL Pro. You get 15% off with promo code podcast. My start will be Tyler Wells versus Pittsburgh. Only 2% rostered right now. And yes, I am putting Peyton Toll into probable start. I know it was not a good game last time. His secondaries did not give him any help. He didn't locate the fastball well. But my gosh, is that heater absurdly good. And if they're not able to sit on thigh-high down the middle four-seamers, Peyton Tolley will do well. So consider that. And last one I'll mention is Ryan Weathers. I have him questionable because he only went 68 pitches in his last rehab start. So that does mean 70 to 75 generally is what you'll see. And it's against the Nationals, which is a good matchup, but it just is not a high enough ceiling for me to risk the rules of still ill. So I put him in questionable. I'm really excited about that one. I do think he is worth the ad, especially for after this. But for this one, it's not necessarily something that I need to go for. All right, I'll talk more about Wednesday's games tomorrow on the podcast, but that is it for today. Make sure you leave a rating and review on iTunes and Spotify. I cannot express enough how far those go for us. So please consider doing that at for Pitchless Fantasy Baseball and the Plus Pitch podcast feeds individually. That would be such a huge help to us. But that's it. So my name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.